Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jax.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be talking about Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance and other games.
Oh my god, yeah. Dungeons & Dragons, Dark Alliance.
They made it a video game now.
I'm gonna predict the outcome of this because I've also played it for a hot 3 minutes. It's bad. It's really bad.
Dungeons & Dragons, Wizards of the Coast, whomever, they love to release video games.
Yeah.
It's their favorite. And they released, I remember it being announced at E3, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance. I remember watching it at E3 and being like, I don't know what this game is. Mm-hmm. It looked like you were in an arena fighting a beholder or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, is it like an arena boss rush game? Basically, but also not really.
Yeah, because you were yelling that at the this sounds like a joke, but Adam was watching it. Mm. Adam, friend of the show, former Thumb Cramps guest. Future Thumb Cramps best, potentially.
Former, he's been banned.
Yeah. Well, last time he came on, him and Cass, also former guest of the show, played fucking...
Dogmouth!
I blacked out because the last edit that I was talking about made me angry, and maybe some Fs and Jeffs slipped out. They spoke in unison the whole time, and it was a nightmare to both edit and listen to.
The audience complained, I complained,
they're banned. Anyway.
Yep.
Adam put the trailer on the show, on the TV. Not the show, this is the show. I'm losing my mind. Yeah. I've become the thing that I hate the most.
Yeah.
Put the trailer on the TV, and you were like, this is some goddamn boss rush shit. Yeah. And Adam and I were like, I don't know why you're getting that. You're like, it's just in a circle.
I was very negative off the bat in a way that I'm sure frustrated Adam to no end. He was
because you were screaming stuff. You were screaming stuff that you were just like drawing conclusions that I guess
were right.
Well, no,
it's not really boss rushy, but
yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, is this just a boss rush? And we're like, where are you getting that from? It's just, it just
looks like you're rolling around fighting a big guy.
So for anyone who's seen for anyone who's seen the trailer, it just seemed to be a boss fight in
boss fight.
So the actual game. I wouldn't say that when I did see it, I was like, this doesn't look like it'll be fun. That was part of my yelling.
That was part of your yelling. That part may have come true, but you were just...
I was belligerent.
Yeah, which is good. I respect that.
I was full of piss and vinegar.
I just want to make everyone know that you were just screaming things that Adam was like, that's...
People imagine maybe that behind the scenes that there's this sort of like some level of civility and that we return to just our everyday lives.
There might as well be a microphone on us at all times.
I just remember coming in and just, getting full of a hot fire. Like somebody put a hot poker on my nose and I was like, that's it! I'm fired up!
They press play and you're like, "Nah,
this looks shit." If you like this, I think you're dumb. That's what I was saying. Anyway,
did you pay money for this game?
No, I got it. Well, I got a Game Pass. So
yeah, okay, that's all right then.
Yeah, but
because it's gonna be like it's on Game Pass. So if you paid money for it, you're the idiot, not the people who developed it.
Because Zamet was like, "This looks like it'd be fun to play," and I was like, "Even if I think it's shit, like with friends, I'm sure I'd have a good time."
Yeah, it looked like a kind of a multiplayer. Again, it's a multiplayer thing where you're like, "Oh, you just play this elf, you're playing a dwarf, you're fighting folk, kind of like a Diablo-esque kind of game."
Yeah, and one of my fondest memories, and I should really get it for for the Switch because it's out for the Switch, is playing Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, which was a kind
same
of...
Same subtitle.
Well, yeah, I know, but it kind of different because it was sort of more like a top-down brawler, beat-em-up, loot-getting kind of game for the PS1 or the PS2. I don't know. You could see titties in it. It was cool. Or...
Yeah, we've spoken about this before.
You swapped
the
clothes on one of the female models really quickly and she had underwear under there.
Yeah, that was good for you.
It was great for me. I remember doing that, showing a friend, and then that friend's older brother, who would have been like 19, came home from drinking, and he was like, hey, dude, check this out. And he showed his older brother, and his older brother was like, cool. And I was embarrassed. I remember being like, this isn't cool. I think I grew that day a little bit. Never since.
Was that one of your optimal experiences where you're like, everything, you should jerk off to every video game that has anyone in any kind of undress?
I would say it was one of the optimal experiences. I don't know what you mean by that, really. But
did it support your hypothesis?
I say so, yeah.
You jerked off to it, then?
I didn't.
Did you find it horny?
I found it horny. Mm. I could have, given the right circumstances.
Yeah, that's sad. Not with your friend in the
room. Not with my friend and his older brother
in the room. You know, some kind of freak, like... Yeah. I don't know, someone that would take a shit and invite their friend to sit on the floor and talk to them while they took a shit.
I was
kind
like
of freak.
Six at the time.
Yeah, that's fine.
Don't call a baby a freak, dude. Yeah.
I will. When I know what the baby grows into.
It's a baby that becomes a freak, certainly. Yeah. But it's not as a freak. Anyway.
Freak tendencies.
Freak tendencies. Freak potential. So, but Sam was like, let's play this game. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll, you know, whatever, even if the game kind of sucks, it'll be okay. So I got it for Game Pass, and no one else, I don't think, downloaded it.
Well, I did.
You did. But we.
I definitely didn't.
Well, you weren't even part of the conversation.
I was in the room.
We excluded you.
We established this.
I remember it being over Messenger.
It was when we were watching the trailer, actually.
Nah, then we did continue then we talked about it over Messenger.
Yeah, so we did exclude you at some point.
Yeah.
I think also I'd probably been like, it's not a boss rush. Also, this looks bad.
Yeah. So anyway, but I was like, well, I'll give it a go. Like, before we play, to get a handle on the characters. It's a, I guess, like a sort of fighter, like a brawler kind of, but not really. Yeah,
it's a
third person sword game.
Yeah. It's a,
I don't, it's hard
a game
to describe.
Sort of similar, Vermintide, is that what it's called?
Vermintide,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing where you have a little hub world that you can go into, do little mission quests.
Yeah, and you have like,
kind of like different characters.
Specific abilities and specific different, like, so I played through the first big level as the barbarian guy. And so you had kind of like, you could, because I was playing it on the PC, so like right mouse button or left mouse button did like a small attack, then right mouse button did like a heavier attack, and then if you did various combos between those like different attacks, you could do basically various different moves. And then you also had a couple of different abilities. As a barbarian, I had like barbarian rage, and then another one where I just swung my hammer in a circle. And then the basic gameplay is like you go through a pretty linear dungeon, and there's just a whole bunch of enemies that come at you that don't really have much in the way of differences. Like, they sort of do, but it's kind of negligible. You know when a game does that, where they're like, this is the poison guy, this is the ice guy, this is the fire guy, but all it amounts to is, like, taking little bits off your damage rather than one big swing?
Yeah.
So it's like that. So, like, oh, it's a poison goblin, but it means nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it might as well all be like, it's a damage goblin, you know what I mean? And then with occasional larger enemies that are big trolls, and that was about it. And... You control like a fridge.
Yes. I was going to say, I've heard people say that controlling the character is like driving a boat.
It's horrible.
It's bad.
It's like your character is like the model is small, but you feel like you're 5 meters wide. Yeah. And so here's the lock-on mechanic. Tell me if this sounds fun. Okay. This is on PC. I don't know what it's like on the controller. You press.
I'm going to guess better, but please.
I'm sure it is. You press the middle mouse button to lock on. And you need that because you might be fighting like 20 guys at once, okay? And normally, without locking on, you're swinging wild every time. The amount of times I'd be like, great, time to like use my swinging hammer move where I become a whirlwind and I just do it into a wall because I can't control shit. Anyway, mouse button. Now, what do you imagine to swap between different enemies?
Okay. So... if I was designing the game and clicking the middle mouse button swap between enemies, I would then say the scroll would swap between enemies. But I reckon it would be the left and right
arrow. It's the left and right arrow. So you get your fingers on WASD.
Yep.
You get your finger on the mouse wheel. You're fighting one goblin. You need to swap to the other because he's wailing on you. You take your hand off the mouse real quick, down in the... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's the most uncomfortable way to play a game. It's horrible.
On the Xbox, you click in one of the control sticks and then use the other control stick to move left or right.
Oh, my God.
So
I don't know why.
I'm assuming it would be click left and then move left and right.
No.
What?
No. I think it's click right and you move the left and right.
Then surely wouldn't that move the character?
Or is it click? Look, either way, it's bad.
Because I played it for an afternoon.
I played two different characters because I think I did the barbarian.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is bad and confusing. Maybe I'll try the archer.
Yeah.
Worse.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because you're like, oh yeah, an agility.
You got to aim. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're like an agility. You're thinking, oh yeah, long distance things. But a lot of your buttons are kick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, your button. You're kicking people, and then you need to get far away to fire an arrow at them. Because I did like, a little bit as the archer as well.
Like, I'm an archer. Surely I'm the ranged like support. Oh, okay.
No, you're the kicker.
I'm the kicker.
The barbarian's the punch.
But if you lock on and you use the kick button, you'll fire an arrow.
So the only way you can fire arrows is if you lock on.
Well, no, because you can just fire another arrow at another certain way. Yeah.
Look, I'm glad I was excluded because this game sounds awful.
There's loot, right? But the loot, and I guess that's because they're trying to make it like D&D. So like you go to a loot chest or whatever and you find like money, which presumably you can spend on like upgrading your abilities or whatever and getting new abilities. Although I don't think so. This is one of those games that has like 10 different
upgrade systems. Yes.
It was very confusing. I didn't want to look at it for too long.
It was confusing because I think they do that thing where you're at the hub world at the start. You can access everything at once, but it's all grayed out.
Yeah.
I assume you can buy currency.
Yeah.
You know one of those games?
Absolutely.
You
just assume there will be microtransactions in this
buy,
game.
Buy like D&D got those vibes to get better items and that kind of stuff. It just has that vibe.
So you get like gold, but you also get gems. But gems are just gold.
Yeah.
Because that's what it translates to at the end. You can get, like, at one point it was like, you found a unique breastplate or whatever, or like an uncommon breastplate, common gauntlets, you know, rare gloves or whatever. But all of them, I think, also translated to money, because then when I finished doing the first dungeon and I got out, I only had one new item of clothing that was actually an item of clothing. So I don't know. So
I think what you had to do there was go to the item chest. That is in the hub world.
But I had a new one.
Oh, okay.
because I got all of them, and then I went out and I was like, oh, what did those mean? And then I looked at my weapon and my armor and stuff, and I could swap between one of the new armors that I didn't have previously.
Okay.
But maybe it wasn't the item chest?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It was confusing and unnecessary.
So have they made D&D Destiny, but bad?
Yes, I guess so.
What is D&D Destiny?
Like, is in Destiny the video game?
Oh, right.
Which was like kind of a weird
hub world, but then you like it's like a loot grinding game.
Yeah,
where you go off to separate missions off the thing, and you have to replay levels over and over to unlock better gear, which gives you nothing except better gear, which then you can go back into the same levels
and then
again
I think basically that's the intent of like just the tune of it. It's
will this game fail as much as games like Anthem, which have tried to cash in on Destiny?
I don't think I played it and I haven't heard anyone mention it since at all. So I think it's the kind of game everybody got into, played one level of, and was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Games.
Thank you, Games. Game Pass.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad that I could play it on Game Pass. I didn't drop like $60 on this or $80 on this to be like, what a waste of my time.
Yeah, it feels like a combination of, Vermintide and Diablo, like 2 or 3, and just taking the worst aspects of both and making this a game.
Absolutely.
When you describe this game, it does kind of, and I know it looks different because I've seen what it looks like, because I was there when you watched the trailer and screamed, just kept screaming boss rush into the television and into Adam's ear.
Yes.
And then talking, using that as a launching pad to how you hate boss rush games and boss rushing in general. And the trailer had moved on, but you had not.
I refuse.
Yeah, like in my head, this just sounds like Diablo, but it looks different to Diablo. But Diablo seems like a good version.
Well, the
of
way
this.
Diablo works is that you like so Diablo, you have that same like you have different abilities, and you upgrade those abilities, and you get brand new abilities and stuff, and you get like rushed by like 1,000 enemies. And Diablo is, I think, at its most fun, where you're like super aware because you've gradually built up all of these different moves, and you're just slamming all your buttons, and just a whole bunch of crazy shit is happening.
Because you
the
know
screen.
What's going to happen because you've slowly worked through it. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like you're dropping bells, and you know and like you're not even really paying attention to the enemies anymore. It's just numbers going up.
Yeah.
And every time you find like I don't like Diablo is really good at that. Every time you find like a chest, you're like, oh, who's this item for? Oh my god, it's for me. Oh, I can do this now or I can do that now. And it's a lot of fun. Mm. But this like if this handled a bit better, it could be like mindless fun.
If they went either the Diablo route
yeah.
or the Vermintide route, it would have been fun. Either they made it first person
yes.
or made it that third person with a camera a little bit higher up.
I kept thinking that if it was first person, I could aim properly yeah. for one. And two, like it might feel a bit intimidating, all of these enemies coming at me. But the enemies just spawn. Like there's no yeah. coherence. There's platforming elements randomly in places as well.
If it was first person, do you think it would remind you too much of Elder Scroll games and you'd be disappointed because they're not, it would also be worse compared to those?
I think if it was first person, it would just be a little bit more satisfying to mindlessly grind through it.
Yeah.
I think I would be like, because it's not like open world or anything. It's
just a cave.
Yeah, pretty much. And all it's just not very interesting like, as well. Like, if it was like environments,
a vague kind of better storyline maybe that kept me interested past the tutorial.
Yeah.
It is this kind of thing where, yeah, it's like, sure, it can be linear, and sure, it can have like that, but it can be fun.
Yeah,
and you can,
I like linear games. I'm, like, into that.
Yeah, yeah. If it was first person, like, you know, smacking on gobos, great.
Yeah, great, wonderful.
Getting some loot, great.
Yeah. A first person game that was linear, no story, though,
yeah,
but it was a bit scary.
That would be great. Mm. That's my dream, baby. Yeah. That's everything I'm here for. Yeah.
And they could have done that with this, and I think also another problem. Sort of hijack.
Please.
No, it's a joint review now.
Yeah.
Is again they have these like characters who are from D&D.
Yeah,
lore.
They're from the D&D like novelizations, the famous novelizations. There's Drizzt or whatever, and some other fellas. But also, it's so weird because it's like Icewind Dale, so it's like a D&D setting. But if you're playing D&D, this is not the game you want.
No,
if you like Dungeons and Dragons, this is not the game you want. And if you're new to Dungeons and Dragons, there's so much assumed lore.
Yeah,
like like the opening shot, right? It's like an icy cave.
Yeah,
and there's some goblins who are destroying monuments. Or whatever.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, Icewind Dale.
Yeah, but then a dragon appears.
And you're like, oh,
and they're like, oh dragon. No, the dragons have gotten. It's Icewind, the evil dragon. And then one of the other goblins is like, it's not Icewind, it's Ice Frost, his wife. And you're like, who cares? What's the distinction? It doesn't matter.
Who's Icewind Dale?
I think that's the dragon. I think the dragon's name is Icewind Dale. Or Dale Icewind, maybe?
I think that's very wrong. But maybe
a Dale
very
is
right.
like a thing, though.
No,
isn't
Dale
it?
Is a location. No, but I think they call the dragon Icewind.
Sure.
And but it's just like, it's so meaningless because none of it's been set up. And either I know Dungeons and Dragons and these. If I know Dungeons and Dragons, these references are exciting to me. I
mean, they're not. Oh, they're saying the thing!
Oh, the thing I like! Goblins! You know, D&D. But if I... And then I play the game and I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
But if I want a punchy fantasy beat-em-up...
You don't want D&D.
I don't want
it's not D&D.
I'm like, all of that is meaningless. All those references are meaningless to me.
D&D is at its most fun, right? When there's like a session that goes for 2.5 hours and the whole time is just combat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
dude.
The
absolutely.
Best part.
And also, like.
I swing my great axe. Mm. You do 12 points of damage.
Well, again.
I swing it again.
But that, like, again, that's like a tabletop versus a game. And when you're doing this, yeah, I think there is definitely.
It is probably all going to be. Like, there's nothing wrong with this kind of brawler.
Like, I think, like, again, if they just almost done a Diablo clone. It would have been better.
Been great.
Diablo clone not had the names of like Drizzt and Elblor or whatever his name is.
Is this based on a campaign?
I don't know.
Well, Fifth Ed released Icewind Dale as a campaign book, but Drizzt isn't in it. Drizzt's from like famous novelizations.
Yeah.
So I don't know, dude.
He's got two panthers, or maybe three. I don't know.
They're not in the game, though. Yeah. That would be cool, though.
That would be cool. But yeah, the characters you're choosing are like, I think three of them are fighters?
Yeah. Well, there's a barbarian, who is an archer.
Yeah.
Drizzt, who is like an ranger. Assassin or a ranger, and then the dwarf. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, so are they named characters?
Yeah.
So you don't create your own, you don't create your own class.
No.
That seems insane for a D&D game.
Yeah, like I think...
I mean, it sounds good. I will never play this game.
Yeah, of course.
giving me pre-made characters, two thumbs up.
Yeah, but pre-made characters with a bunch of lore that you just assume, like, they assume you know.
Two thumbs down.
Yeah.
Also, it's a D&D game. Mm. That's the only time where I'm like, yeah, character creation makes sense.
Like
Skyrim. I get it why you create a character in there. I don't like it, but I understand why it's
that's
there.
How it's going to work. Yeah,
if they just done, like, the Diablo route where it's like, you know, you got the sorcerer, the barbarian, like the ranger, that kind of stuff, and you just have, like, that as an archetype. Don't give me a name, just make me the ranger.
Or if you're going to have these named characters, make it a really story heavy game.
That too.
Because it's you can't do both.
Yeah.
Make it a sequel to the novelizations.
Yeah.
Here is a thing that I think.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, no.
Could be.
I mean, it probably is.
Yeah.
But like, make it an obvious one. Call it that.
Yeah.
This feels like. And sometimes, I don't know what it is recently, but it's like popped into my mind more and more of like market research done wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, people, like a board. Being like, oh, this is what people like, so we can just take this and make this, and it's going to make this much money.
Yeah.
But not thinking about, oh, that isn't actually what they like, or that's just assuming the wrong things. Yeah.
I get the vibe from this that it's the kind of thing where, like, maybe early in the creation of it, they were like, we're making a video game based on the Dritz novels.
Yeah.
And they're like, great, but over so many, like, changes and so many, like, producer meddling or whatever, this is what you've ended up with. And so much is just, like, you know when you're playing a game and you're like, this is a leftover element? Like, this is chaff that should have been cut but just has survived.
You gotta cut the chaff.
You gotta cut that chaff. But, like, this has just survived so many different iterations or whatever, so many different... It doesn't contribute to the whole anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not disappointed because I always thought it was going to be bad.
Were you disappointed it wasn't a boss rush? So you'd be right.
Yeah. But I still feel vindicated, though.
This is like a lot of some of the, like, the previous games, I think, like, you know, sort of D&D have sort of released. Like Sword Coast Legends, which was released about 6 years ago. Mm. That was a piece of shit.
Yeah. I was going to say, let me just say, that is the worst name for a video game I have ever heard.
But like, it was unplayable.
Yeah.
Like, it was just genuinely unplayable.
Well, yeah, if they put that little effort into the name, I'm not shocked.
And like, again, me and Adam were pretty excited for that. Because at that
was
point,
it
we
the title
sort of
that got you
together.
Excited?
Well, no, because it was like a very, like, the first, like, the D&D game that's come out since
Fifth Ed or whatever.
Like Baldur's Gate, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And it was this kind of thing where, you know, you could create your own character. So you could have, and it really followed that kind of Fifth Ed. Gameplay and like, you know, branching trees of what you could kind of choose.
Yeah.
And there was also like a dungeon creator kind of aspect. Huh. And we were kind of excited because, you know, again, we do another podcast, D&D is for Nerds. And I was like, okay, cool. We could kind of utilize this.
So hang on, since when?
Since 2009.
That's not true.
10 odd years, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you saying that I could find new episodes of D&D is for Nerds every Sunday?
Yeah.
If you so desired.
Oh, my God.
iTunes or Spotify.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
You're on it sometimes, dude, which is the craziest bit.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
SansPantsPlus.com.
No. SansPantsRadio.com. We did this, like, you know, and we're like, me and Adam have these, just, like, long discussions. Like, oh, we could utilize these because you can create dungeons and you can create, like, maps, those kind of stuff. So, like, as a visual kind of, like, aid for us, as well as, you know, we could kind of, you know, do some fun things with that. And boy, could we not.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, it shat the bed so much. They like they took it down. They like shut it down. They're like, this is bad.
That's Here's crazy. A little trick both for you, Joel Zammit, because I don't think you really fall into it. I think it gets you occasionally, but it's more directed to the audience. If a video game promises stuff that to your feeble human mind feels like that's crazy they're putting in a video game, it's going to be bad. Games that promise too much suck.
Yes. But then it's kind of like, but you look at like previous games that have been released earlier than that, and they did it well.
Yeah, but then they're sprinkling more and more stuff, and it's just unsustainable and will suck. Is it crazy that also a pretty flawless D&D game that uses a system of D&D but in a different setting came out last year and everyone loves, and now they've put out an official D&D game and it sucks? Because, like, Disco Elysium is what a D&D game should really look like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Sort of. Like, the system in itself.
What a bold claim. Consider... Yeah. It's
not a guy hanging from a tree and you accidentally shoot him with a gun.
I get what you mean. But, like, it's very... The thing is, with Disco Elysium, it's a very story-driven game.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a very story-driven game. Like, you are rolling... The story, like your dice is about your success and what you say, and that's what kind of moves the game forward, which is an aspect of you know, D&D, that kind of stuff. Mm. But with D&D, like, a lot of it is combat. The thing is with D&D, it is a combat system first.
Yeah, I guess I...
Disco Elysium is more considered, like, I would say, like, World of Darkness or any of those sort of games that, tabletop, that really push the story.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what you look at it, D&D is primarily a combat-driven game.
For I think sure. my problem is, well, not my problem. So when I think of D&D, I think, oh, the fun stuff is, like... Like the role playing, not even necessarily goofing, just role playing.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
The combat is often the worst part because it's just like, all right,
my axe.
My axe for a third time.
I think, and this is always, and this is a, like a personal opinion, and I know it's slightly controversial, but I'm always like, just play D&D.
Yes.
I don't know why we need a video game for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have a whole tabletop role playing game which has been designed to be exactly what you want out of D&D. So why are you playing a video game of D&D?
It's funny that when you said this might be a controversial opinion, I thought you were just going to repeat what I said. And I'm like, it's not that controversial. I just said it. I've been like, this is a controversial opinion. Just don't like don't put combat in D&D.
No, no, my controversial opinion is play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you need to do it in another medium when we have a perfectly fine medium.
Is it because people, the same reason that like you can make video games out of books, people's imaginations are limited.
More like shitty.
People got them bad brains.
Well, I get it. I totally understand why people do it. It's the same reason why we get movies based on video games. But I'm always like, you're going to get a lesser version.
Yeah.
When you could, if you just removed it entirely from being a recreation of this in this medium,
I think.
Just make like a Diablo, sort of like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Because like Baldur's Gate 3, which is again, is a very good way of putting like the D&D stuff onto a video game.
Is that game finished yet?
No. Is it? That's good. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I really, I loved playing it, but I think I really enjoyed playing like Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 a bit more just because of like the gameplay style.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's a very good interpretation of how you have like all the different rules and stuff like that for D&D, but you're right. Like, or you could have just kind of like taken some of those elements and made a new
get
thing.
Some friends together. Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe the video games, maybe it's because
lonely fellas.
Yeah, you're forgetting about the freaks with no friends.
Yeah, that's right. Damn. I am rich with companions.
Rich with like two good friends here.
Yeah. You gotta think about all those moron freaks sitting alone. Mm. No, but like that is a problem with D&D though. Freaks aside.
Yeah.
It's impossible to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
by yourself.
if you can't get friends together,
and like, sometimes like think about how hard it is sometimes just to play. If you have the opposite of this for some reason. You're a man with all the time in the world to put together multiplayer servers.
Yeah,
I can't remember. That's not true. I can remember the last time I played online games with friends, but it's hard to organize.
Yeah.
I guess if you make a D&D game.
No, look, I agree with you. Like, I guess this is a terrible sentence to say. We play D&D professionally.
You make me sick, even though I guess I am in theory.
Yeah. So, but
I should
also
admit, I'm distancing myself.
Not good. But like, we also find it sometimes very hard to organize.
Mm.
To do those kind of things.
And you can put ads in your D&D, so it's worth it. We love ads! I've said it on this show before, I'll say it again.
They are really good.
They're the best bit.
They are so good.
So yeah, it's hard to do that, to find like a group of people. So this is why you have that. But you don't have to be as faithful to
the source material.
I think you can do better. I think like a Diablo has done better.
Yeah.
I think like a World of Warcraft has done better.
For sure.
I think like even a Dragon Age has done better. Those kind of things.
Superman does good, Diablo did better.
If I found out that
my famous saying.
If I found out that Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance had started as not a Dungeons & Dragons property, that would just not shock me in any way.
What if you found out it started as a phone game?
That would shock me. What are you saying? That's like if you were like, I did love Red Dead Redemption 2. And I'm like, what if you found that it started out as a version of Boggle?
Oh, yeah.
Would that shock you?
No. A little bit. Actually, yeah. But yeah, it's that kind of thing where I think they're being, that I think the constraints of what the system is kind of holds them down as opposed to freeing them up. And, I think sometimes those like, you know, creative constraints can lead to something good, whereas I feel here it definitely did not.
Yeah, it seems like a very shoddily, poorly put together game. It wasn't fun to play.
How many thumbs?
Oh, here's some unsurprised. I was hoping, like, I pulled up the game,
because
I was like, look, we're speculating a lot on stuff that will be very easy to find out.
Yeah,
was in development for since 2019. There was no point where it was in development hell. It's a spiritual successor to the Dark Alliance Baldur's Gate games.
Yeah. Kind of, except those games were fun.
No, as in like it is. Like, not, this isn't me speculating.
Yeah, yeah, this is like, this is what they said. Yeah, that's crazy. Mm. I can see that. Like, it has the same vibes, but yeah, look, probably I'm going to give it like one thumb and a knuck because I gained some small level of satisfaction out of spinning into big trolls. And that was okay. And I remember the last two guys were a bit hard to beat because the game was frustrating, and it made my heart race, and I felt alive for a brief second. So,
okay, so
I'd give it like maybe zero thumbs from me.
So you know how we were saying it's probably a sequel.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to The Crystal Shard, which is the book you were talking about.
Mm. Yeah.
The first book in the Icewind Dale trilogy and the fourth book in the Legend of Drizzt series.
Yeah.
But it's a that's so stupid.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Because
like, just pick one of those and make it a sequel.
Because, because I think they're the same book.
Yeah. The first book in the Icewind Dale trilogy is the fourth book in the Drizzt trilogy.
So it goes like Drizzt, like trilogy one, trilogy
you know
two.
What? That was my mistake and the mistake of the person that wrote that sentence.
Yeah, but hey, But how much
I've cited everything, which makes it look like they're three separate entries. I thought that they were doing like the classic, like
combining a couple of different books together.
Well, no, like kind of like the Age of Ultron, I guess, is a good example where that's a sequel to the Avengers movie, but also a sequel to Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
So I thought they were being like, oh, this is an event that brings all of these together, but only the first and the fourth
But also, none of it's explained. Book it might as well not be.
Can't. Yeah. That's crazy that one thing is both the fourth. Yeah. I guess it's still Age of Ultron again. Where it's a second Avengers movie, but it's the 11th. Kind of,
Look, it's a bad game. If you have it on Game Pass, I guess give it
uninstall
a crack
it.
If you want.
Yeah.
But it is. It unfortunately, it's not good. There's like a lot of better games.
Here's
out
what you're
there.
Gonna do. You're gonna just find a couple of friends.
Yep.
You're gonna play a game called Dungeons and Dragons. Yes. Okay. Or you're gonna go get some goddamn air for once. Go outside.
Or honestly, just play Diablo.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you been playing?
Well,
today?
Since you two idiots, two boys, one game, I'm going to be one boy, two games.
Ooh!
So everyone listening being like, oh no, I was only getting one game there, and then presumably Joldrush would come in with one game, so I'm one game short in this episode of Thumbcramps.
No.
Incorrect.
Nice try.
Because I've been playing two games that I have not seen anyone link together, but play very similarly and are published both by Devolver Digital. So I'm going to talk about both of them because coincidentally I started playing them both at the same time. Again, not expecting them to be a very similar game, but are in fact a very similar game.
Do you play them two computers, both hands?
No, because they're both Pac-Man. On Nintendo Switch.
Ah.
So the first one I'm going to talk about, and this is, first of all, huge shout out to the Devolver publishing team who have taken the real risk of giving me, Joel Dusha, a review copy of a game.
That is crazy.
Looking at Thumbcramps and being like, yeah, you can
these
have
guys,
a game.
These guys know their video games.
Yeah, I trust these guys with my review
I
code
hear Jackson's
of this
belligerent yelling was semi-accurate about Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance. That's all I need to hear.
I can't tell if the more we talk about this, you maintain the same level of right, which was not really, because it's not a boss rush game.
I think I become in many ways more right as
but then,
time goes on.
I can't tell if you're deciding you're going back more and more accurate to the point where you're going to claim it is, even though I just listened to a 25-minute review of it and it's not.
Yeah, it's ish.
You fight
multiple bosses.
Then you get a boss.
In a row?
Semi.
Is it an arena fighter?
They are in arenas.
Sometimes, yeah.
But you have to.
Well, the tutorial one, like, that was in arena.
Yeah, and then Gobbo's you move kind up. Of from arena to arena fighting bosses.
That's not a.
In a rush? You do your view. Leave me alone.
No!
Get in my case.
That's like being like, Mario's a bit of a Bowser Rush game because you fight Bowser a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you got to rush from left to right.
I would describe Bowser as Bowser.
Anyway, Mario as you can see, this is why I understand that the Devolver was like, I trust these boys with this game code. Mm-hmm. And this is hot and fresh. I couldn't talk about it last week because I was under embargo, which is funny.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I was under embargo. Again, video game journalists. We are legitimate.
Yeah, check us out.
So I've been playing a new game called Boomerang X.
Oh, yeah.
Levin spoke about Boomerang Foo last week. These are not the same game.
Were you dying to talk about Boomerang X as he was talking about Boomerang Foo?
No. Okay. Because Levin's also, I think, has a code for this, so I knew that we were on the same wavelength, leaving out our good friend Jackson Bailey.
I was just sitting there static in my brain.
Yeah. Thinking about boss rushing game and how any game with bosses is, in theory, a boss rush.
In many ways, yeah.
Because, like, usually you're rushing to beat a game.
And you're rushing and most games have bosses.
So I guess
speedrunning.
Yeah,
that's speedrunning is.
It's rushing bosses.
Well, speedrunning is a boss rush, I guess.
See?
Yeah, you get a rush from fighting a boss.
Like you're in like a skyscraper, like you work in a big office and you're chatting to the CEO and he's like standing there looking out of the big window out onto the city and you whisper to yourself, boss rush, and rush into him and out the window, killing you both.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's how Final Fight ends. You kill a boss by throwing him out of a skyscraper window. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Boomerang X, which is a new game published by Devolver Digital. It is a first-person action game, I guess. Basically, the whole game revolves around what they call a boomerang, but isn't actually a boomerang.
What is it?
It's got four prongs.
Oh.
So I guess, imagine
does
if
it come back?
Yes.
It boomerangs it whilst boomerangs. Not being a boomerang. Yeah.
So imagine, I guess, if a boomerang had 4 points.
Yeah, so if you got two boomerangs and you combine them at the angle?
Yeah. So cool. It kind of makes like a cross, but with boomerangs, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a hand holder part in the middle, so there's like a little circle in between.
Cool. Okay.
So the game is you're in this, I guess, kingdom that's been overrun by a darkness kind of creature-y thing, kind of similar to... they're kind of like goop men, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of getting the vibe.
You get the boomerang at the start, and you've got to like go defeat these goop men in certain areas in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful looking game, and it plays really strange because basically what happens is you get the boomerang, then you follow like a very linear path, but the environments and stuff are very different. And as you progress, you unlock more abilities. So stuff like the first thing you get is just throwing the boomerang, but then the second thing you get is it's called slingshot, and you throw the boomerang, then you tap while the boomerang's out, you tap the throw button again and you leap to the boomerang.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like a traversal thing. So the paths are linear to get from arena to arena, basically, because what happens is you don't fight enemies along the way, just there's arena fights in between each area where you fight waves of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very strange because it makes the game feel like they had a really, really, really cool idea and it's fun to play, but because they've got like waves of enemies in the middle, it almost kind of feels like not a tech demo, but kind of like, it was a game where I was playing, I was like, this is good, I'm having fun. Cannot wait to see what they do next.
Because
it feels like, I mean, it's an indie game and it's not like overpriced or anything like that. It's like, very well priced for what it is, and like it looks cool.
Yeah,
it feels good to play. The controls make sense. It sounds cool, but yeah, like the actual game part of it, I'm like, okay, this feels like they didn't think as much about the game as they did
as
the
every
game.
Other element. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, like as you go on, you unlock more and more stuff. So like because it's a boomerang, when you throw it, it goes out and then comes back.
Yeah.
So you unlock an ability that's like, if you kill more than one person with one boomerang, you like charges the thing up and you can shoot like a scatter shot. There's like a longer throw, like a lock on throw. And
does
just
it
like
kind of just feel like almost too separate? Like you're playing like not that you're playing lots of like three different games in one, but like kind of like the arena fight is not part of the same game as the traversal element or.
Yes. And also the fact that the abilities don't feel good to use on enemies.
Oh.
So the enemies are like, a lot of them are like floaty guys.
Yeah.
Like kind of like ghosts or sprites that are floating in the air. So just hitting them with a boomerang doesn't feel.
You would kind of hope if they were goo men that you could like bisect them with the boomerang. That's what I would
like.
They
just disappear when you hit them.
That's kind of a bummer.
Or they like turn into like a gas. Yeah, but also like you don't, I mean, I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
But you don't fight other guys that are also throwing stuff at you or whatever, which I think would make it fun. Like if you're fighting someone that has similar abilities to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or if rather than having a wave of fights, it's just like boss fights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the waves of enemies really like, I don't know. It just feels really separate to the rest of the game. Mm. That being said, like, I still very much enjoyed it. But the reason I'm talking about two games today is because it plays and feels very similar to a game that I went to great lengths to get called Sludge Life.
Oh, okay.
Published by Devolver, also. Came out last year, I think. Was free on, not Game Pass. What's the EA thing called again? Origin.
Yeah.
Free on Origin for ages. It was on Steam. Got released on Switch in Australia, and the Australian government went,
nice
not
try.
So fast. Bad luck.
What's
banned.
What's bad about it?
Drug use.
Oh.
So the plot of this game is you are a tagger called Ghost.
Tight.
Who, like, it's a small open world area. You just got to go tag all of these places. But it's one of those games that just, like, you enjoy the vibe of being in.
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
funny because it kind of ties into the Boomerang X thing, which is just, like, I just like playing this because, like, it's cool to look at.
Yeah, yeah.
Except a Sludge Life feels like more of a developed world, I guess, because there's, like, other characters to talk to. And, like, it's just, like, dumb conversation. Mm. It feels very stonery, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But less stonery as in, like, weedy and more acidy.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of the animations are, like, kind of, like, warped, so it feels like everything's melting.
Mm-hmm. I miss when games, you just, like, made me think of it with tagging. I miss there was, like, a period of time, I want to say from, like, 1999 to, like, 2001, 2002, where every video game
you could spray paint stuff.
You could spray. It was cool. Especially some games you could make your own tags if you were playing it on PC. Put around the world, Jet Set Radio Future. I think there was an entire game that was like Tony Hawk, but you didn't have a skateboard. You just climbed around the city tagging. I forget
what
it was called.
Yeah, that got banned in Australia as well.
There you go. What? Tagging's cool.
Tagging was...
Tagging. It was Mark something's getting on up or something.
Yeah, that's right. Real? And it was like a kind of semi...
And we were like, oh, we can't have that. We can't. The Australian banned public games. Can't have that.
They can't learn about tagging.
Let's find out. Because, like, we'll also use this to be, like, what games are banned in Australia.
Yeah. Because I remember seeing, like, ads for it in, like, you know, PlayStation Magazine or something back in the day. And being like, that looks cool. Like, a parkour game where you also... It's, like, about climbing up to complicated places and tagging it.
Sometimes Australia is a silly place to live.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Mark Ecker's getting up, contents under pressure.
Yeah, so it's wordy as a title, but still good. And there was another game where you had to spray paint Paris or something during World War II. I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I forget how that one worked, but yeah.
Sludge Life is kind of like cel-shaded, kind of looking like a cooked Wind Waker is the best way to describe it.
Cool.
It's set in a world where the earth is just covered in sludge. So in between the areas is just sludge. And you can walk through it if you want, but it slows you down a bit. But it's literally just to, like, cap the map because it is a small area.
Yeah.
There's 100 tagging spots. When you walk up to them, it's just like there's a spray paint can and it just automatically sprays your tag because you're an upcoming tagger. The whole thing is you're meant to tag 100 spots to become, like, the most notorious tagger in the city.
Yeah.
Very basic game. But then you've got just, like, crazy stuff like there's a... Like, everyone's obsessed with this, like, dungeon crawler game.
Yeah.
And you can run into the developer of the game who has just read a bad review of his game and is upset about it. So
good.
He just gives you the game so you can then play the game within a game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is part of the advertisement for the Sludge Life game because it kind of makes fun of you, the person playing the game, because it's like, waste your life away by playing a game within a game.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And some of the other features include, and this is probably part of the reason why
Game
got banned, is everyone in the game loves cigarettes, and everyone's constantly wearing a cigarette brand t-shirt, which is called Siggy's Sigs. And one of the features of the game is smoke Siggy Sigs. Go on, smoke them up.
That's good. Can you smoke cigarettes in the game?
There is a smoke cigarette button. And you have to collect cigarettes because when you smoke a cigarette, it isn't just like automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
It doesn't really do anything except
that's
it has
even better.
A cigarette hanging out of the car, like the frame, and you can just see it go down. You can
one of my least favorite things in Red Dead Redemption 2, I think specifically online, I don't know what's like in single player, is that I can smoke a cigarette, but it takes me like a second. I like suck it down and throw it away.
Yeah, this you can.
I want to enjoy it.
There is literally like a button to like inhale, and you can inhale the whole cigarette if you want, or you can just smoke it like a normal cigarette.
That's great. That's real
good. But yeah, just like the vibe of it's so weird, and like it almost made me feel like a hungover nauseous when I played it for too long because everything's like a bit wonky.
Yeah, yeah.
Soundtrack's sick. I don't know. I just really like this game. And I went to such a big effort
what did you have to
get
do?
This. So I had to create. So the Nintendo Switch is region free.
Mm-hmm.
But to avoid people buying not only games that are banned, because Australia is mostly the one that has this problem. And, like, no one thinks about Australia. But mostly to avoid, like, certain games have more of a gaming tax depending on the world. And it's something that was really big with Steam for ages, which is, like, the average price in a video game in Australia is, like, say, $80 regular retail price. Yeah. But that exact same game is the Australian dollar equivalent of, like, $55 in America.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you could just set up a different account and then buy games on that, you would just be saving money, and obviously that's a dumb thing to, like, as a company, you don't want people to do that. The Switch lets you set up different region accounts, so due to review codes and stuff like that, I already had a North American account.
Yeah.
But you can't link a PayPal or a credit card to it that isn't based in America. So it's region locked to whatever the credit card address is. So I had to find a website that would sell me the Nintendo US store points card that would accept my Australian credit card and then use those points to redeem it in the account and then use those points to buy the game.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
It was a cool, weird game that no one's talking about. Also, there's a cat with two buttholes and a giant baby.
That's
which
good.
In the game is not called a giant baby, but a huge baby.
A huge baby.
A huge baby.
Oh, that's good.
It's crazy that this game's banned, but I also
totally understand.
I understand just, like, understand in the sense that, like, yes, it actively goes against the rules Australia hates, but the Australian government, you need to take a look in the mirror and be like, do I wish to continue to be this loser nerd?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do I, am I proud of who I've become?
No. Because, like, here's, like, a list of games that
abandoned Australia.
And let's not forget that up until, like, the Mortal Kombat 9 and I think Grand Theft Auto 4?
Yeah.
There wasn't an R rating in Australia, meaning that MA 15 plus, so 15 years or older, was the highest rating a video game could have. So if something was too violent for that, it just got banned
straight out,
But then they added an R rating, and they're still like, oh, if it glorifies drug use, you can't play it.
Yeah.
If you're 18 years old and a video game is telling you to take drugs and you think I should listen to the video game, that's probably not on the video game.
Well, you see, because the Australian, I don't know if you know this about Australia, but we very much adhere to the hypodermic needle theory where monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly.
So I don't know where about everywhere else in the world, but for some reason, Australia, it's proven
that this theory has been disproven
literally everywhere.
Yeah.
That if we see something, someone do something, we'll do it. Because that's just, in Australia,
that's how it works.
That's what we do. So,
who can explain it? Not me.
Yeah, no, no, exactly. Like, so we when we see a text, we don't understand it. We don't like internalize it. We don't change it.
We just take it critically.
No. We like face value. So if my hero that I'm playing, he smoke a cigarette, I should also
smoke a cigarette.
Because I can't.
You want to be like him?
Yeah, I don't understand the difference between what I'm seeing
how
and who
could
I am.
Ever to be figuring it out?
No, I'm like,
Joel
Dush
is
going to
do drugs now and have two buttholes because he played.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So we've got the some recent things. Look, I'll start with a crazy one.
Yeah.
Psychedelic Craft mod for Minecraft.
That rolls.
Because drugs alter Minecraft in this Minecraft mod, it got banned in Australia.
How do refused you ban
classification.
A mod?
I don't know, Jackson, but that's it's on this crazy. List and it's stupid.
Yeah, but mod is
Katana User Zero was banned for a while, then unbanned, then rebanned, but then has been unbanned again.
That's so funny.
We've got Super Blood Hockey, which is a video game made in 2017 for the Nintendo Switch, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a throwback to the early sports game of like the NES, where you know how like the early sports game just allowed for crazy violence?
Yeah. It was good.
So they made that and then they added like you could just like kill people in the other team. Kind of like there's a lot of blood. It's just ice hockey.
Yeah.
But also you can take drugs.
Yeah.
Banned.
There you go.
It is a 16-bit looking game. And it's banned for violence and drugs.
Yeah, because then I'll start playing.
Yeah,
Zaman
will start doing drugs,
dude. I do.
Yeah.
Mother Russia Bleeds. Mother Russia Bleeds, which I can't remember who it's made by, but that's like a relatively famous indie game. Came out in like 2016. Drug use is in it, banned. Mm. But because it doesn't have a physical copy of the game, it's banned, but Steam still sells it. Because again, no one respects the Australian government. Mm. And here's a crazy one.
Yeah.
And this is a funny story because it's very recent. And these are all just recent games. Yeah. Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
First one comes out, gets rated MA. The R rating classification becomes a thing in Australia. Hotline Miami gets bumped up to R, which already makes no sense.
Yeah.
Hotline Miami 2, wrong number, comes out. There is a reference to sexual violence, which is the other thing that, we'll Australian get video games slam a ban on. That one makes significantly more sense than the other two, but it's still strange in certain circumstances, which is made very evident here. I'm talking so fast that my brain cannot keep up with the words I'm saying. So yeah, that like makes sense in certain circumstances, but not this one here, because it's a movie set in the game, so it's not a real thing that's even happening in the world of the game.
Yeah.
But it is a video game, so meh. Anyway, Hotline Miami 2, banned.
Mm.
Hotline Miami Collection comes out.
Yeah.
Which Devolver attempts to get rated as Hotline Miami.
Yeah, fair.
It passes with MA rating because it's the original Hotline Miami had. They then realize that there's actually a collection of the first two games, so it gets banned. Because they went through the Hotline Miami title, that also means the original version of the game is now banned because they're like, it's the same game. When it's not the same game, it's two games.
That is ridiculous.
Insane.
Wow.
Also, the Reservoir Dogs game banned. Mortal Kombat 9 was banned in Australia for ages. Manhunt banned. A lot of games were fine, and then there was like a weird... There was some Australian...
It's just crazy.
Guy
that
that's a moron that's like,
South Australian
governor.
Politician. Yeah.
Anyway, because he's also the one that got the graffiti game banned because he said it normalizes.
It's just crazy that you can have a game and then ban the game like it's after it comes out.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah. DayZ was banned in Australia for a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fallout 3 was banned in Australia for a while.
Yeah. Well,
the Australian government, go to hell.
Quits. And I think you'll allow that one.
I'll think about it.
Okay. So okay, how many thumbs? What are we talking
about? Okay. Boomerang X, probably three thumbs, but a very positive three thumbs.
Yeah.
It's just that I can't imagine going back to this game and playing it again.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, sorry. If playing I finish
more
this
than
game,
once, yeah.
But I would be very excited if they took that and put it in a different game.
Fair.
Sludge Life, four thumbs. The replayability, again, probably not super high, but
a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and it just does a lot of stuff where I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
This is just like, it's just like a good vibe to just sit in. Also, there apparently is multiple endings. There's a good ending, a bad ending, and a weird ending.
That's classic.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
There's two buttholes on a cat. You can just look at this cat's two buttholes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it is the rule. The cat's got to have a butthole if it's animated, you know?
Yeah.
Name me one cat that doesn't. Garfield.
Damn, okay. Lasagna. Where'd that lasagna go?
Where'd that lasagna go? Yeah.
Backed up cat.
He's in trouble.
Also, cats should not eat cheese.
Yeah, John Arbuckle should be put down.
Yeah. That reminds me, Jackson.
Yeah.
I think it's actually time now to hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Oh my God.
That's right, it's ads time.
It's ads time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thank you, sponsors.
Damn, that was good.
Great ad. They've changed the jingle.
That's wow.
It doesn't go da-da-da-da-da. It's like a quiet noise now, which is probably makes sense for those kings out there that like listening to podcasts while they fall asleep.
Yeah,
because
true.
The you know what? Was mixed louder than the podcast.
That's fair.
Now it's like a really gentle, like, I don't even know. I can't even
like
do
it's
going
to send you further to sleep.
It's
like knock you out. It's
like a
shh. Just knocks you straight into REM. Anyway, do you know what time it is now?
Emails?
It's emails time.
Knew it. Nailed it. Absolute king right here.
And I just want to address something straight off the bat. Yes, you are listening to an episode that is not the episode that was promised to you by Elevens, because after he said, let's do an episode with me, Hayden, and Alexi, full dog mouth edition, no one did anything about it.
Yeah, nothing happened. So don't blame us.
No, don't blame us. We'll release it. They record it. We'll release it.
Yeah, they just get, you got to take it up with them. All right? Okay, get off our backs. Nobody's problem.
So this week in the Thumb Cramps email.
Yeah.
My God. Okay, so what's happened is someone has absolutely unloaded us with spam.
Okay. Any of it good?
Nah, it's all
dick pills.
I think the only interesting spam email I've got here, Jackson, is get a brand new PS5 for free.
Oh, my
they
God.
They know we're gamers.
Click.
Yeah,
click,
dude, that sounds like an incredible deal.
Oh, they didn't give us
I went to, there's that retro video game store kind of nearish to us, near the station. I went there the other day because I was like, maybe I'll buy a DS. I don't know why. To play Spirit Tracks, I guess. Greatest game ever made. And I saw there was a copy of Pokemon Heart Gold. The remake for the DS of how much do you reckon it cost?
$50.
Not more.
It'd be, was it in case with an instrument? It'd be like $120.
It was $299.
All right, we didn't get a free PS5. I followed the link for a bit and nothing happened. Aww. Anyway, this email is from Fox from Texas.
Okay, Fox from Texas.
Hey, JD and the rest of the Thumb Boys. A few months ago, you mentioned that if you haven't played Spider-Man Miles Morales and own a PS5, then that is a bold-faced liar, or you're a piece of garbage, or full of shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you're listening to this show and all of those things apply, anyway.
As
I previously stated. Anyway, Fox goes on to say, I was hoping I wasn't the only one to fall into this category, but it seems like I am. Or maybe no one else remembers you saying it. Regardless, here's attached video with proof to prove that I didn't just hide it. I also included a portrait of my girlfriend and I in a Renaissance Fair costumes at the end, proving that I am a 37-year-old loser that just hates Spider-Man. I'm actually just likes games where I can create myself. Cheers, Fox from Texas.
Does the video prove that Fox from Texas doesn't have any of the Spider-Man games?
Yeah, Fox from Texas scrolls through the entire PlayStation library, and look, there's no Spider-Man there.
Yeah, well, with photo editing.
It is,
deep fakes or whatever.
With CGI the way it is today,
we've reached
very accessible
a level of commercial availability of a whole bunch of video editing software. So I would describe that as inconclusive. I think that's fair to say.
It's good, Fox from Texas, that you like to play games where you can create yourself, yet you like to go to the Renaissance Fair where you can dress as someone that's not yourself.
When I'm making a game, right, where you can create your own character,
it really makes you think.
I've stopped making myself.
Okay.
I get into debates with Adam about this. He's like, "Mate, you make you." I'm like, I used to. Now I just make a new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ideal version of you. One that's cool and has friends that don't hate it.
Someone else. Well, thank you, Fox from Texas.
I still am stuck on this fact of because you can exist as you just outside.
Yeah.
But in video games, you choose to make you that is you now. But when you go to a Renaissance Fair, you don't dress as you. You dress as a different...
From the past.
You as the past.
I guess it is
you in fantasy land.
Yeah, it's you if you lived in Renaissance time.
That's true. Anyway, thanks for the video, Fox from Texas. I watched it. And finally, and this one will, I feel like, take us home and also be something that you guys like talking about and something that I also sometimes like talking about. And this says, hey, Tomboys, thumb without the H.
Powerful.
I realize this isn't the place to voice it, but god damn it, I want couch co-op back.
Yeah.
New games barely have it and it drives me insane.
Yeah.
What's the best couch co-op game for you boys?
That's a great question.
Cheers, Woody.
I know. I will never be able to reach the joy I experienced, even as a young man, not even as a teenager.
Mario Golf Super Rush. That's my answer.
We played with Gamey Game that's not the last time, 2 weeks ago.
It's the last time I remember playing couch co-op.
But as a kid, or as a young man, playing COD and Blops and stuff.
You know Blops.
COD, Blops, Blops 2.
Floppos, Blingus.
Halo, Halo 2.
Those days were powerful. I guess
Halo
probably...
ST.
Mario. Mario's a good one.
Mario Party used to play a lot, Smash Bros.
Here's a question. Are they...
Yes, couch co-op. You co-op on the couch?
I was thinking, my brain went couch co-op split screen, and they're not split screen, but no.
It's the same difference.
There was one, what was it? It
Need
was
for Speed.
Rare made it, and you were like Donkey a robot lad, and someone played the robot next to you, like Floyd or something like that, and it was a gunner game. A lot of fun.
I don't know.
You play as a robot and friend plays another robot called Floyd.
I think it's like played Floyd. You have to collect him and then your mate can play as second person and shoot. I'm going to try and find this game.
Okay. It sounds like Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, it sounds like a fever dream.
It sounds like that you fell asleep on the couch playing Ratchet and Clank 2.
It's on the 64.
Up your arsenal. Oh, wait. Nintendo 64. Jets of Gemini?
No. Jet Force Gemini.
Jet Force Gemini.
You knew it.
I was thinking of something else.
I am the gaming king. Nintendo 64 is the only genre I remember.
Yeah, Jeff Fortune was great. Gauntlet. Used to play Gauntlet a lot with
what's
mates.
What's that?
Also on 64.
Yeah. Oh, I know it then. Bio Freaks or whatever it was called.
Classic game.
Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is fun.
Sorry, Gauntlet Legends.
Gauntlet. Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Ah, that make that the bader.
Bio Corps.
Yeah. Mech Warriors.
Yeah. What other games from Nintendo 64 do
a lot
I remember?
Of great games on the 64.
Glover.
That was the Glover.
Yeah. The multiplayer element of Banjo-Tooie. Yeah. Classic.
Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong Racing? You
know,
Diddy Kong?
No, just like Donkey Kong, sorry.
Where, oh, but you could play as Diddy Kong?
Yeah.
First player died, and then you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bring me back. Let me switch.
What is the best couch co-op experience?
It's tough, though. It's tough to pick.
Because like, the new ones that came out, good job. Like I'll forever be like, good job was a great
it was fun.
Game. That was like a very fun co-op game, and I wish there was more of that.
Yeah.
I wish I played that co-op, because that game, I liked it, but it really didn't do enough for me to be like, all right, this is... By playing by myself, I was like, yeah, it's not getting me.
No,
it's not taking me to Game of Heaven.
It wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's a two-player gaming heaven game.
But it is hard to find something these days that is, if something is couch co-op these days, that's a selling point, whereas it used to be expected, I think.
Yeah, the internet wrecked it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the internet culture, just the internet existing.
So if they were like, you were going to prioritize playing a game online rather than in the same room. Mm. Yeah.
I think the worst co-op experience I've had was Human Fall Flat, where every time I think about playing that, I immediately wish I was dead.
That's fair. Rayman Legends, I know me, you, and Adam, and Jack, we played that.
I played heaps of the Army of Two games. Do you remember those games?
I don't, because they're not on Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's
right. I do.
Yeah, I played heaps of them. They weren't fun. But in one of them, you could choose whether a leopard lived or died.
That's pretty sick.
You always pick died, right?
Well, yes. I used to play a lot of Castle Crashers with a housemate of mine.
Oh, yeah,
that was a lot of fun. And also Broforce.
Oh, yeah, Broforce was fun, too.
Broforce
Johnny
is fun.
America. Yeah.
I'm playing as Johnny America.
Kane and Lynch?
No. Everyone hates those. Also, isn't that Army of Two?
No. They're very, very, very similar games.
Yeah,
there's a few smattering here and
it's
there.
It's weird because I feel like couch co-op turned into co-op story games and everyone hated that because... Actually, Resident Evil 5 was fun co-op.
Yeah. Well, most games are. Like, playing a game co-op is always a good... most of the time.
But you got to account for freaks.
Yeah, freaks, dude. Freaks wreck it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I recently purchased a couch co-op that I haven't played it yet, which is, I think, it's all moving out. So when I eventually do play that with my partner, I'll let you boys know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Let me tell you, moving out in real life, hard, bad.
No, thank you.
You got to move a lot of couches if you own a lot of couches.
Everything's always heavier than it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're going to move stuff that you're like, you never imagine you would have been moving in your life, like a fridge.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't. It's just a big rectangular prism.
I've moved too many fridges in my life. I've hit the quota.
If you try again, you'll crumble into dust. But yeah, couch co-op. I miss it. You miss it.
We all miss it.
Life sucks.
Except freaks.
Freaks, happy it's gone.
They're happy. Maybe freaks develop video games.
Yeah.
I mean, perverts definitely develop video games.
Yeah, that's true.
Freaks what is perverts, freaks and perverts are the
one
closest.
The same, really.
Is that the Judd Apatow TV show?
Yeah, freaks and perverts.
Freaks and perverts.
Sadly cancelled after one season.
Yeah, that's a bummer. So many actors got their breaks in freaks and perverts. That's cool.
Lindsay and Sam Weirdo or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to email us, You can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at thumbcrampspod.
Mm-hmm.
Today's episode has been three thumbs, four thumbs, so that's seven thumbs, plus your zero thumbs, still seven thumbs.
Nice.
Plus, what was yours? One thumb and a knuck?
Something like that.
So that gives it to eight thumbs and a knuck. It is a disgustingly low episode.
Pitiful performance.
Makes everyone sick. When you're listening, you're spewing up, and that's fair enough.
Video games get good. Come on.
Yeah, that's it. Bring back couch co-op and bring back good games.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
And this has been another episode of Thumb Cramps, where we play games and we talk games and we think games and we breathe games and we love games. Except this week where we hated games.
We hate games this week.
Damn.
I'm going to go and eat some pasta.
Yeah, fair.
Hey. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.